Welcome back to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader, home of the Fighting Irish, along with Eric Hansen, the Fighting Irish football insider. For the South Bend Tribune, I'm Darren Pritchett. It is great to have back on the program Scott Wright, the creator of DraftCountdown.com. We've talked to Scott for years. I know Eric has used Scott of the South Bend Tribune for articles on Notre Dame players getting set for the NFL draft. And it is finally draft week, and there is a good chance two Irish go in the first round. We have not talked about that in a while. So let's bring Scott into the program. Scott, it's Darren. Good to talk to you as always. How are you today?
I'm doing excellent, guys. Good to be back.
Good to be back with you. Let's start with Quentin Nelson, and it's always an interesting conversation, Scott, when it comes to an offensive guard, his value, and is an offensive guard worth a first-round pick, let alone a top-10 pick, like could be the case for Quentin Nelson. If you were a member of a front office in the National Football League, considering Quentin Nelson's tape and his abilities, how strongly would you consider him if you picked in the top 10?
I think he's worthy of a top 10 overall pick. He's actually my number one player this entire draft, regardless of position. Quentin Nelson's the best true offensive guard prospect I've seen in the 20 years I've been covering the draft. He is the total package, and I'd be willing to bet he's on the top 3 to 5 overall just about every board around the league. He just might get pushed down because we're going to have this early run on quarterbacks and then the positional value. But I think his floor is probably the Bears at number 8 overall, and I think he's in the conversation as early as the Broncos at number 5. So terrific player, and I'm really stingy with my elite grade. I only gave it to two players this year. One is Nelson, and the second is Saquon Barkley, the running back from Penn State. So he's a pretty special prospect at the position.
Scott, I'll ask you about this is Eric Hansen. I'll ask you about the other lineman in the first round. McGlinchey, you have him as your top-rated tackle. In your last mock that I saw, you had him going to the Vikings at 30. What's maybe the highest he might come off the board on Thursday?
He's got a pretty wide range. I've heard as early as number 10 overall to the Raiders. I think the Bengals at 21 could make some sense. The Patriots, the Vikings, like you mentioned. But the indications I've gotten are that he's more on that fringe of the first round. And to me, he's the clear-cut top tackle in this draft. And it's not that I view him as this elite franchise left tackle. It's just a down year for the top end of the position. And I gave him a first-round grade in my final rankings, which I'm just making live on the site right now. And, you know, I think he's the safest of all these tackles, but I think he's probably going to be maybe the second or third off the board. I think Colton Miller from UCLA is going to be the first tackle selected because he's more athletic, and he's going to be a left tackle, even if he's not as polished of a player as McGlinchey.
And, Scott, just to follow up on McGlinchey, is the wide ranging of opinions on McGlinchey have to do with the fact that some people believe he could be a left tackle in the NFL and others believe that he's only going to be a right tackle?
Yeah, I think it's just mostly because they most think he's a right tackle. If teams viewed him as a left tackle prospect, he'd be going in the top 15 overall. I don't think there's any question about that. But I think his struggles on the left side in college, I think he clearly looks better on the right side. So and right tackle is a very valuable position. And, you know, going back to Quentin Nelson, you talked about positional value. And I actually interviewed Quentin Nelson a couple of months ago, and I asked him about that. I said, you know, people are going to ask, why should they take guard as early as you're going to be selected? And he made the case that, hey, in today's NFL, you have to deal with Aaron Donald, with Fletcher Cox, with Geno Atkins, these terrors on the interior. And you know, the edge pass rushers in football always get the most glory. But if you ask quarterbacks, they hate the pressure up the middle even more than from the outside. So Quentin Nelson, I think he made a pretty good case why he's worthy of a top 10 overall pick when I asked him.
Scott, you have Equanimeous St. Brown as your 10th wide receiver and Josh Adams as your 12th running back. Do you think there's any chance we would hear either of those guys' names called on Friday in rounds 2 or 3? And which of those kids would have benefited coming back to school more in 2018 had they decided to do that?
I think Equanimeous St. Brown's got the best chance to go on day 2. I think he's going to be a third-round pick, and he's intriguing. I mean, he profiles, at least physically, as a potential number one wide receiver. It's just the poor quarterback play this year really limited him, but He's intriguing. There's no question about that. So I think he's going to go on day three, or excuse me, in round three. And he's probably the guy that would benefit the most going back for another year. If he got better quarterback play, put up better numbers, had more opportunities to showcase his talent, I think you could make a case. He could have maybe played himself into the first round, at least the conversation. Josh Adams, the big question mark with him is durability. And we saw last year when he was healthy, he was fantastic, but then he got hurt more down late in the year. That's kind of a running theme back to his high school days with the health. So I think that's why he's going to be a middle-round pick. I actually have him in my overall rankings as the very last pick in the fifth-round range of my overall rankings. So fourth, fifth round, but he's an intriguing guy. If he can stay healthy and he goes into a situation where he gets an opportunity to be a workhorse, he can outperform his draft slot. We saw last year Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara. I think Josh Adams has the talent to do that, but he needs to stay healthy.
Scott Wright from DraftCountdown.com, our guest, talking about Notre Dame prospects and the NFL draft. You follow Notre Dame pretty closely, if I'm not mistaken. You're a fan of the Fighting Irish. So after watching film on this batch of Notre Dame players, is there one player, Scott, that after watching film on them, you were more impressed and maybe gave them more credit than you had initially before starting this particular process for this year?
Well, I mean, the guy that was a revelation this year, he's going to be in next year's class, was Tavon Coney, a guy who came out of nowhere and emerged as a pro prospect. But in terms of this class, Durham Smythe is a good player. I think he's going to be a fifth or a sixth round pick, but I think he's a slightly better prospect than Ben Koyak was coming out, and he stuck around. He was drafted, stuck around a little bit, but nobody really surprised. I think we knew what we were getting. One player, I guess, Niles Morgan. I didn't think he was going to run as well as he did in workouts, and I don't think he's going to be drafted, but I think he's going to be a priority free agent. And you know, he ran a 4.76, which wasn't an awful time, so I guess that surprised me a little bit. But no huge surprises Notre Dame. We kind of knew. And you know, Eric, I think we talked back before the season even, and right. We talked about how good of a prospect Quentin Nelson is, and he's one of those no-brainers. He's a real easy guy to scout.
Right. Yeah, Niles also had that shoulder surgery in January, so he had just started running maybe a few days, maybe a week or two before Notre Dame's pro day, cleared to run from his shoulder surgery. So I like him too. I you know, we kind of thought that he had played all year hurt, and he confirmed that, and certainly with the shoulder surgery he did. Curious what you think of Greer Martini, the other kid that started at some linebacker for them last year.
Yeah, and I think he profiles as more of a backup special teamer. I think he's going to be a priority free agent. But another guy who didn't run as poorly as we expected. He ran a 4.81 at 6'3.5", 230 pounds. He's got a nice frame. I think he gives you some versatility to maybe play inside or outside. But he'll be in a camp. I think he'll definitely be in a camp, but probably going to have to make it more towards the backup and special teams route.
All right, Scott, so I made this kind of bold prediction about probably 2 months ago to Eric. Now, I didn't expect to be right, and you can obviously throw water on this particular statement since you do this for a living, but I just thought with the red flags surrounding Josh Adams and the injury history and with the way that Durham Smythe plays the game, a complete player, that I said there might be an outside chance when all is said and done that Durham could be drafted before Josh. Now, I think a couple of months ago there might be a round or two difference between the two, but even though if it doesn't happen, I mean, they're almost in kind of a similar ballpark now, right? Fifth, sixth round?
Yeah, they really are, and it's going to be close. And like I said, I have Josh Adams is the very last pick in the fifth round of my overall rankings. And so he was at 137 overall. And then I think I had Smythe coming in about a round later. So I still would give the edge to Josh Adams just because I think there's a right. lot more upside there. But Durham Smythe, he's safer. You know what you're getting. Probably not a starting tight end, but Durham Smythe is going to play in the league as a backup. Whereas with Josh Adams, you're just not sure exactly right. what you're going to get. But if he hits, you could get a steal.
And let me just ask a quick follow-up question. Just in terms of running backs, there were a couple of years, Scott, where everybody kind of stayed away from running backs early in the draft. Are we starting to see the running back come into fashion? What Gurley has done out with the Rams, that obviously has really helped that franchise. Is this draft, and of course Barkley, everybody loves him, but do you think the running back is becoming more of a value again in the first round compared to a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I think so. And it really did start with Todd Gurley, and then the following year was Ezekiel Elliott, and then this past year was Leonard Fournette. And Saquon Barkley belongs in the conversation with that group. Coming out of college as prospects, I would put him second behind only Fournette. So I think the teams were happy, and they're willing to pay for quality. Although one thing, as someone who follows the draft, that I find interesting is the long-term view of this. I think these teams are going to win in the short run, the first 3, 4, 5 years with these running backs, but for example, the Cowboys took Zeke Elliott over Jalen Ramsey, the stud defensive back with the Jaguars now. They're winning that right now is when Zeke's on the field, but after 5, 6 years, Jalen Ramsey's still going to be an elite corner, and Zeke Elliott's going to be a really expensive running back who might already be starting to wear down. So I wonder how these running backs, these stud running backs, are aging, because right now it's all puppy dogs and ice cream, but 5 years from now, it could start looking a little worse.
Now I'm hungry, Scott.
I am too.
I got a couple more for you. One has to do with quarterbacks. One is, you know, we talked last year about Kaiser, you know, making a good business decision because we knew the Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen group was coming, Baker Mayfield. Now that that reality is here, can you project if Kaiser had stayed and had a pretty good year, how he would have fit in with this group?
That's a really good question. And the X factor is a really good year, you know, to what degree. But I don't think there's any question he had first-round talent. And I think he would have been in that top 6 or 7 this year. I think he would have been at worst case in a similar range, a top 50 pick. I think you'd probably lump him in with maybe Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State. I think is going to be the 6th quarterback off the board, late round 1, early to mid round 2. And I certainly think if he had an incredible final year and played up to his potential, he could have been a top 10 overall pick, potentially. I had him as my top-ranked quarterback coming out last year. I didn't love anybody in the class. I don't think I gave a first-round grade to any of the quarterbacks in last year's class, but I just, for the value where you could get him and the upside, Kaiser was my preference. And, you know, he's going to get a good opportunity now to have the career he's supposed to, where he can go and sit behind Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years, learn, develop that immense talent, and he's going to have an opportunity to maximize it, whereas going to Cleveland was just really set up to fail.
And you mentioned Coney has, you know, caught your eye and so forth. He's come back. He's moved to middle linebacker. I'm curious, as you look at Notre Dame's roster that isn't in this draft, are there people besides Coney that catch your eye that where you say, next year these guys could be pretty good?
Sure. Julian Love, the defensive back, is a really good player. But Jerry Tillery kind of intrigues me. And maybe he's going to be the prospect that we thought Jerron Jones could have been. You know, they're similar big body type of jumbo athletes. And Jerron Jones was just, it was missing that X factor. And Jerry Tillery started to turn it on last year. He had some inconsistencies early in his career like Jerron Jones did. But Tillery, the light started to come on last year. So if he can continue developing like that, I absolutely think he has early round potential because big athletic guys like that in the interior, I think he's scheme versatile. He's an intriguing guy for next year from Notre Dame's perspective and maybe their top senior prospect going into the next cycle.
All right, Scott, I've got a couple of rapid-fire questions for you as we wrap up this conversation. We're going to have a mock draft on our program tomorrow, and I think the expectation is that maybe Sam Darnold goes number one to the Cleveland Browns. You're going to have a quarterback run. The Giants are kind of up in the air what they might do. In your estimation, if you're the New York Giants and Darnold is off the board, who do you take at pick number 2?
Well, if it were me personally, I'd be taking Josh Rosen, the quarterback from UCLA, but I don't think they're going to be looking quarterback unless Darnold is there. So assuming they make the pick, I think the decision's between Saquon Barkley and Bradley Chubb, the defensive end from NC State, and I think it might be a little closer than a lot of people believe. They really like Bradley Chubb, but ultimately I think Barkley's going to be the guy if they stay, but there's going to be some trade offers, and it's going to take a lot for them to move down. But if they do, then we're going to have an early run on those quarterbacks. And in that scenario, Barkley could even fall out of the top 5 or 6. So a lot of machinations on draft day with these teams jockeying for quarterbacks. And that's what we've seen in recent years. Teams identify the one they want, and they go get them, cost be damned. Whether it's the Rams and the Eagles a couple years ago with Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. Last year, it was the Texans with Deshaun Watson and the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. And not a one of those teams regret making those moves or paying what they paid. So I think we're going to see a similar phenomenon this year. And I think the two spots where we're going to see quarterbacks and trades are 5 and 6. I think the Broncos at 5 are going to deal out of there, and the Colts at 6 are going to deal out of there. And whether it's the Bills or the Cardinals, I think they're going to come up and get their signal callers. So I think we're going to see 4 quarterbacks off the board in the top 6 overall, and maybe 5 in the top 10, which would be crazy. Where quite potentially the record for first-round quarterbacks was 6. That was the famous 1983 class with John Elway, Dan Marino, and we have a chance to tie it this year.
And I was going to ask you about the Colts, so you kind of stole my thunder there. It seems like if Chubb is there, that'd be a perfect fit for them. But just for our Bears fans and our listening audience, at number 8, can you give them a couple of possibilities? And do you feel like Quentin Nelson would be the guy for them?
I mean, Quentin Nelson sure makes a lot of sense for them if he's there from a value and need standpoint and familiarity with Harry Keystand there now. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And if he's gone, defensive back maybe. I've heard them connected to Denzel Ward, the corner from Ohio State, Minkah Fitzpatrick from Alabama, or maybe one of the linebackers like Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech or Roquan Smith from Georgia. But the Colts are interesting. They've already moved down once, and I think they want to keep moving down and stockpiling picks. They have a real dearth of talent. They need a lot of help, especially speed and athleticism in that front seven. I think that has to be their priority. If Bradley Chubb, he'd be the dream scenario for them. I don't think he gets to number 6. But one way or another, they just need to load up.
Scott, I would have to think Thursday's Christmas Day for you. You work all year for the first round to come about. I mean, I got to imagine you order out. You don't cook. You don't do anything. You sit back as a fan and probably do a lot of work, but you have to order in, right? I mean, you can't be cooking on a day like Thursday.
Oh, no doubt. I totally geek out on draft day.
Good for you.
I enjoy it. I have as much fun as I did 20 years ago when I was a teenager watching. I remember the night before the 1998 NFL draft, I literally did not sleep. That was Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf and Randy Moss. So I always say it's like Christmas time for me. And most of the hay is in the barn now. I've got the final rankings. Yeah. Within the next 10 minutes here, all the final rankings are going to be posted. And to work on the final mock draft.
DraftCountdown.com, folks. People, go to it. He does fabulous work, and I still have nightmares. My Broncos taking Ted Gregory over Thurman Thomas. I'm never, ever going to forget that day, that's for sure. Well, Scott, great to catch up with you once again. And, folks, please check out DraftCountdown.com. We've talked to Scott for years. He does an amazing job, and it was great to catch up with you once again on what should be a very, very fun few days for Notre Dame fans watching some pretty good Irish players head to the NFL.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
We'll talk to you soon. Scott Wright, DraftCountdown.com, the best website for all of your NFL draft needs. We'll have the draft, the first round for you Thursday here on WSBT Radio.